I'm going to stick with the theme of the message, the purpose of resistance, but I don't want to approach it like I thought I was going to approach it. Is that cool?
That's all right.
Okay. Let's lay some groundwork for a moment. And it goes a little something like this. Last week, we dealt with the feeding of thousands of people, right? Dealing with needs, dealing with immediate needs. There's so many needs, the collective. And throughout the week, I know the message stuck because too many people kept on harping on one element of last week. Mm-hmm. Being grateful and letting God bless what you have.
Yes.
Because when you are grateful for what you got and put what you have in God's hands, God extends that, right? But the text we're in brings us at the end of that service, the end of dealing with people's needs in that moment, and now moving to the next place. Jesus said, get on the boat, y'all go ahead, I'm gonna come after, but get on to the next city. Go to the next place. I'm going to get rid of the crowd. You go to the next place. Take all the stuff you've collected. Go to the next place. That's what he said. And after he dispersed the crowd, got the disciples on the boat, he went somewhere to mind his business, talk to the Father, get himself recharged before he met up with them. Here is where the resistance comes in the text. They're on the boat, the disciples. They're making their way to the next city, and the winds are high. And it says something to this effect, and I'm glad it's up here. And when Jesus saw them at some point, he saw them, saw that they were making headway painfully. Get that phrase in mind. They were making headway painfully. It is not that they were not moving. Okay? Mm-hmm. They were moving. But a resistance came that made their movement more difficult. Mm. Let me say this out the gate. Whatever victories God grants us, you can expect a headwind that is going to resist your ability to keep moving. And the reason that it's going to come is because you have determined that moving forward for the kingdom of God is better than staying idle. Victories are going to come. Serve the Lord, you're going to win. Simple as that. You serve God, you're going to win. I thought I was in the right place.
Yes.
You serve the Lord, you're going to win. You don't need books on that. You don't need people to come around you and tell you in 1,700 different ways the thing I just told you. You serve God, you gonna win. So that's the constant. The other constant is that if you continue to win, which means you continue to move, you are going to face resistance. So let's get it out of our minds that you'll never face anything. If you are effective at what you do, you're going to face something. Because who wants to see somebody win when they ain't winning? If I'm taking L's and you keep winning, something wrong. I said, we a real church and I'm a real pastor. Listen, if I watch people keep on winning and I ain't winning, there's something in me that says, why are they, I should have a W somewhere. I'm dealing with things that if somebody winning and you losing, eventually you're going to look at who's winning and say, I don't understand why they keep on winning. And if you're that deep of a jealous person, you're going to start conjuring up ways to try to cause people to lose. All right? So take it up spiritually another notch. When you're dealing with the things of God, when you're serving God, the devil knows that every time there's a win, every time there is a blessing, every time you have overcome something, every time you got off your sick bed, every time someone in your house got blessed, every time someone in your house got saved, all this other stuff, that's win after win after win. What do you think the devil is trying to do now? Find a way to, wait for it, at minimum, slow you down. Resistance is not an idea where it causes you to stop. It is supposed to be something that is supposed to encourage you to stop. It is supposed to encourage you to stop. Resistance is supposed to encourage you to stop. It doesn't mean that you necessarily stop. The text says again that they moved. Jesus saw them and saw they were moving painfully. So they were actually moving, but the wind was tough. So then Jesus, after praying, after getting himself together, decides to do Jesus-like things. Jesus-like things go like this, you know, doing stuff that don't make any natural sense. So he decided to take a stroll. He decided to take a stroll. He got his good sandals on. And he took a stroll on water. I said, Jesus did Jesus-like things. You know, some of us just, you know, we walk on sidewalks. When you're near a beach, you're walking in the sand. He decided, you know what? I'm just going to walk on water like nothing going on. Because who is out here, the Bible says, at the fourth watch of the night? Who out here at 3 to 5 a.m., you know, looking at me? I'm going to keep walking. And the scripture says also that his purpose was he was going to walk and go past him. In other words, he was going to see him and then go keep on going until he met him where they were supposed to be. But he saw their struggle. And then they looked out and they saw him, thought it was a ghost. Then Jesus says, hey, y'all good. It's late. I'm not going to even mess with your brain. And here's this is how powerful Jesus is. This is how cold Jesus is. Jesus is like, all right, look, listen. It's me. Don't freak out. Just open up your boat. And the Bible says that he got on the boat. And when he got on the boat, the wind stopped. Now, that ain't the amazing part. The amazing part is that an entire ship that had people on it was struggling in said wind. And Jesus was taking a stroll on water in the midst of said wind. Okay, let me try that again. Let me back up. Maybe I said it wrong. Zora, did I say it wrong? Folk usually get excited about stuff like that. No, I got to check in because, you know, I want to make sure that I'm keeping everybody's attention. Okay, Zora, here it is again. Okay, ready? Jesus was doing Jesus-like stuff. He walked on water, and he walked on water to pass by a ship that had his disciples on it, right? And the ship couldn't go too far because the wind was up against the ship. And the ship was struggling to get somewhere that had trained fishermen on it that knew how to travel on the sea.
Right.
He walked on water in the midst of a wind that was slowing down an entire boat with people on it. And he walked and he looked over and they saw him. They thought he wasn't who he was. And then he looked up and said, "Nah, it's me." Told him to open up the boat. They opened up the boat. He got on the boat. And when he got on the boat, the wind he just walked in on the water that he just walked on, he got on the boat, and the wind that slowed down the boat stopped.
All right.
Come on. Yeah. I thought I said it right. Did I say it right that time?
Oh. Yeah.
But somehow they still didn't understand who he was. Let's look at this resistance. Everybody wanted to preach a Christianity where it's free of challenge. That's not Bible. And that's not real life. Everybody, it seems like all they want to do is preach self-help. And they don't want to talk about the realities that every now and then you're going to go through something. People want to try to tell you 25 steps towards a better you. And nowhere in those 25 steps do they ever address the fact that you're going to come up on something. A real follower of Jesus Christ understands that for every W you get, there's going to come something that is going to try to slow you down. Let me say before I get into any point, whatever is trying to slow you down, don't quit. I don't care how hard the struggle is. If you are moving forward, you may not think you're going anywhere, but the text says they were actually moving. Even though it was a struggle, they were still moving. You know? Even when it looks like you don't have enough to make it happen, if you're still moving, it's still progress. The hardest conversation I had in the last few weeks was with one of my brothers-in-law who said to me, and I quote, "Man, I wish that I was further along than I am. Because when I look at you and my sister, I feel like I'm older than you, but and y'all younger than me, and I should be at least where you are." And I looked at him and I said, "Bro, why are you lamenting about what you have not done? You're going through all the should theology. I should have. I could have. That's over. If you're putting one foot in front of the other, that's progress." Somebody needs to hear this. You're so worried about the struggle that you don't realize you're still going. You're so worried about a destination that you are already going to get to that you don't realize that you're still moving. So you and I need to learn how to deal with what? This part, the resistance part. There's a reason that you got to deal with resistance, okay? It's going to happen. Don't let anybody tell you you're not going to have to struggle. You're going to. You're going to. It may not be in the classroom, but it may be somewhere else. It may not be with friends or people, but it's something else. There's always something. So before you get to it and you get discouraged, here's why you got to deal with the struggle. Number one is so you can learn how to navigate opposition. You got to learn how to work your way through it. And here it is. Everybody's work through is not the same. There's no cookie cutter way to get through opposition that is set for your life. Okay? What you go through is not what I'm going through. Which means then how I navigate through my stuff is not necessarily going to be the same way you deal with it. There are some similarities, but we all have to learn how to what? Work our way through. They were working through it. It wasn't happening fast enough, but they were still working through it. Remember, one step at a time. Don't quit because it didn't happen in 15 seconds. Let me take you one more good giant step. Don't quit because the Lord didn't show up when you wanted the Lord. You know me well enough to know. I believe that most church folk, you hear me? I believe that most people that have been in church, they sing the songs, they make the quotes, and don't believe 95% of them. Because people that he's an all-time God. But what does that mean with your struggle? He may not come when you want to, but he's always on time. What does that mean when I'm struggling? It means that no matter what, God will come through. That's what you know. But it's on you to keep going forward. You want to dive out because stuff gets hard. No. Listen. And please hear me when I say this. Some folk, they struggle with certain things. All they need to do for some folk, they come to church, they get a word, they feel better, they go home, they're back. Right? But there's some people that go through all kinds of stuff, and God provides for them a therapist so they can deal with their stuff. Y'all don't want to hear this, do you? The Bible talks about, even as part of some of these gifts, you got teachers, you got preachers, you got evangelists, you have counselors. Mm-hmm. Yes. Some people need to go and see one. Mm-hmm. Right. Because they can't be around some of y'all because y'all don't got good advice. And some of y'all don't realize that there's some counselors that probably save some of y'all's lives by talking to some people that you don't know how to talk to. Everybody navigates differently. But the key is that we encourage each other to what? Keep moving. Don't look at something when someone says, I don't know if I'm really making it. Get in their ear before the devil does and remind them, I don't care how it looks right now, but you what? Keep on focusing. Keep on moving. You got this because God's got you. Don't become the agitator that continues to tell folk what they want to hear when they're going through their pity. You be the one that gets in their ear and tells them, I know it's difficult, but you're not going to suffer. You're not going to stop here. God's got you. Sometimes all we need to hear from somebody is, you're going to make it. Yes. You're further than you think you are. You don't stop. Because God is already working the thing out. Stay with me. Stay with me, I'll prove that. Because number two, the reason you need to face some resistance is to increase your awareness of your environment. You got to be able to pay attention to your environment. What did they know? They knew that Jesus said what? Go to Bethsaida. That's what they knew. Go there, that's where you're going. What did they know about their environment at the time when they got on the boat? It was a headwind that they couldn't deal with and that they were struggling with. That's what they knew. What else did they know by the time they got to about 3 a.m., between 3 and 5 in the morning? There was somebody out on the water. That ain't normal. That's what they knew. And they were like, is that a ghost? And Jesus had to speak up and say, it's me. The reason you keep on moving in the midst of a resistance is because you never know when the Lord will show up. Jesus was, what did Jesus do in the beginning? Jesus said, I'll take you to the crowd. Y'all get on the boat. Y'all go. I got them. I'll be behind. I'm coming after you. Ain't that what he said? Okay. He said, I got the people. Y'all get on the boat. I'm going over here. I'll be right after you. How is Jesus going to get there if that was the primary mode of transportation?
Right.
Wait a minute. His primary mode of transportation is usually one of his disciples taking him somewhere, right? So how are you going to get there? Jesus does Jesus like things. I'm going to take a stroll. Ain't nobody watching. And the text says that he what? His purpose was to pass him. So that he, so if his purpose was to pass him, it was to what? Meet them at the next location. But it's when he saw their struggle that he positioned himself where they could see him. And he, wait, kudos to the disciples who were paying attention to their environment. Because I don't know, the text didn't say it, but I could only assume somehow they were praying to get through. This is an assumption. But they were probably praying to get through this because this was taking too long. And somehow, here comes Jesus. This is the first century. There ain't no street lights. There's only moonlight, starlight. And they saw him on the water and thought it was a ghost. Which means that basically, to a certain extent, you could assume he lit himself up to be seen. And they thought it was a ghost, didn't they? And then he said, it's me. If you are pressing forward, if you are observing your environment, if you are doing what the Lord asked you to do, even when it's most difficult, what will Jesus do? He'll show up. Can I take about 20 seconds? Is there anybody in here that knows about when the Lord shows up? It seems like he shows up in unexpected places, comes around a corner somewhere, you didn't even know he had been watching you from a distance. He shows up in a room and you thought you were by yourself. He showed up in an operating room, showed up in your sick room, showed up at your job, showed up in all these different places, and somehow, by the time you recognize that you may not have known at the moment, but then he says, hey! So he showed up. Resistance comes for one other reason. It's so we can see a different revelation of Christ in the midst of our movement. You got to get a different revelation of who Jesus is while you're going. Here's the revelation, right? The end of the text says they still didn't understand what had just happened on the shore. I mean, I'm gonna take the disciples off the hook for a minute. Gramps, I know we beat these 12 brothers up all the time. I think the church probably is beating up the disciples more than anybody else. But how could they not have faith that the Lord would show up? How could they walk around and act as if Jesus didn't have a plan? How could they do it? Because they act like you and me. People get on my nerves with that stuff. You ain't never had that much faith until you grew in it. And I'm saying this for young people so they understand. Don't you let these adults try to fool you.
Listen.
Some of them, it took them about a hundred years. Because I'm about to say it, you're laughing too soon. It took for some of them 100 years to get to the level of faith that you have. Yeah, it got real quiet, didn't it? You walking around trying to tell these babies something, you can't even exercise something. You ain't gonna know. I ain't letting nobody get away with that mess. There's some of us in here that are still operating, not even at childlike faith, not even at mustard seed faith, but at riding somebody else's coattails faith. You ain't even learned how to have your own yet. And I trust God because my mama did. Okay, your mama know. But you ain't gleaned nothing from that? Moving on. The revelation that they had at that time, they were still trying to process, how in the world did all these people get fed? And we know we had 2 fish and 5 biscuits in our hand. And we know that there was no way in the world that all these people should have been fed. I held the stuff. They still wasn't getting it. And now on top of all that, here he come, chilling on the water like it's normal, and asking to get on the boat and wait for this. You know how the other time when they crossed over a couple chapters back, they faced that storm, they said, hey man, don't you care, we about to die. And then he came up and he said that everything shut up, and it shut up. This time, nature didn't want no smoke. He got on the boat and the wind stopped. First time I went through a storm, the Lord had to call to it. But this time, all he had to do was step in my situation and come. Okay, let's go. You need to learn about who the Lord is to you in different situations, because that's how you get the revelation of who he is. See, everybody talking about the Lord as a healer, but you know the people that know that the Lord is a healer? Folk that he's healed. You know, everybody talking about the Lord as a provider, but you know who understands that he's a provider? The ones that he's provided for. You know, everybody talks about he's the creator of all and everything like that. But do you know the people that understand about his creative ability? Those that have watched him work in your life when there were things that weren't there and he showed up. Yes. To keep moving, I cannot limit my ability to see God in different ways.
Yes.
Because if I do, I'll miss what I need. I don't need the healer today. I need the lover of my soul.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I don't need the lover of my soul. I need the one that'll grant me peace.
Yes.
Okay, my peace is cool. I need the one that'll give me joy. Okay, my joy is cool. I need somebody to cover me as I go into stuff. I need the protector. I need the healer. But you won't know that if you're preoccupied with what's happening and not aware of how he'll show up. Do not rest in your wins. Wins are the evidence of serving God. That's consistent. Don't become preoccupied with the resistance. It is there to make you strong. It is there to make you aware. It is there to keep you sharp. It is there to keep you focused. It is there to let you know that you are still moving. It is there to let you know that God is working in your life and that the enemy will do anything that he can to make you believe that you are what? That you're done. Keep watching. Watch him show up. Watch him move. And you will arrive at your next destination. Amen.